Scripture reading this evening can come from Psalms 22 and 1 through 5, and then additionally 22 through 24. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. In verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard.
Good evening. Thankful for the presence of everyone that is with us tonight. I invite you to take out your Bibles into the book of Psalms. And Psalm 22 is where we will be taking the thoughts of our lesson this evening. The life of a child of God is oftentimes filled with joy and blessing, happiness, success. And there are many times that we just do not even realize the challenges that other people face. At least that's been my personal experience. I would say I've had a very blessed life and free of a lot of the challenges that other Christians across the globe might have faced at some point or another. Yet there are always moments in our life that things begin to challenge us. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it is someone in our family who has abandoned the faith and they have turned against the Lord. Maybe there are other times where we learn of some terminal illness that we have and that we have to face, or a family member is diagnosed with something that is life-threatening. There are all sorts of challenges that we might have, disappointments that we might face, that whenever there is not peace and harmony within the local congregation that we're a part of. Any of those things can be a moment where our faith can be tested. And for a moment, it might seem that we're disappointed and that the only reason that we are going through that is because we are a Christian, because we are. We do have faith in God. I wouldn't be part of this local congregation if I didn't have faith, and then I wouldn't have to be going through all the turmoil and the heartache or the disappointment, you might reason. Sometimes our circumstances drive us to disappointment. It's not faith in and of itself that would cause disappointment, but we can, because of our faith, we can sometimes feel isolated. We can feel alone, that things aren't always working out like we might want them to. And we can begin to feel despair. We can feel as if God is not there, that our prayers are not heard. The cries of heartache are not listened to. And in those cases, it feels like the enemy has success. We can't help but think of all those emotions that we might kind of be thinking about right now and in those moments. I think that's exactly what David is trying to convey in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. David is wrestling with some very serious thoughts and emotions as he's writing this. David was oftentimes persecuted by his enemies, Saul breathing murderous threats against him, forcing him to flee for his own safety away from his homeland. Enemies of warfare. People misread David's intentions even when he was trying to treat people with dignity and respect. His own son, Absalom, established a counter-kingdom and led people away from Israel and the kingdom of David, again forcing David to flee for his own safety. He had to leave Jerusalem. I can't help but think of the troubles that David might have had and the thoughts of despair and loneliness in any of those situations that might fit this psalm. And while there is no exact historical frame of reference or situation that we have to say with certainty that this is exactly when and why David penned this psalm, I think certainly one of those kinds of backgrounds is helpful for us. I can only imagine thinking of my own son wanting to do me harm rather than be by my side. And I think this could certainly apply to us whenever we have challenging thoughts. Even when our faith might disappoint us, even when our faith might reach the point of despair. I think this psalm can speak to us whenever we might be troubled. And that's why I want us to spend some time this evening looking at this psalm. Because there are moments whenever we might grow discouraged. There are going to be times where we are faced with challenges that will test our faith and where it seems that Satan is winning the battle. And we need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves for how we are going to be able to respond. How will we be able to pick ourselves up? How are we going to be able to persevere and come out stronger on the other side? Psalm 22, just from a very basic standpoint, it is divided into two major categories, two major divisions. In the first 21 verses, the biggest section, it's where David is reflecting on the persecution that he is facing. Well, we're going to take some time to look at some of the verses in that section this evening, but just know from a general standpoint, he's talking about persecution. That whenever his enemies are opposing him, he says, for instance, in verse 6, "But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." You see there very clearly that he is facing something that is very difficult. But that's not where the psalm ends. What I think we do, or we might do ourselves a disservice if we don't continue to read all of this psalm. Because if we only read a glimpse of it or the first half of it, we might think, man, David is going to lose this battle. That David is lost. He has lost his faith in God. God's not there to answer. And his enemies are only going to have success and they're going to pile it on. But that's not where the psalm ends, thankfully. In verse 22, the psalm takes on a different sound. He says, "I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard." The psalm ends with a praise for God and to God. Because God, even whenever there might be times of despair and times of loneliness, where we might feel forsaken and isolated and alone, and where when we feel as if God is not there, God is there. We'll talk about that some more tonight. And as David is wrestling with the persecution, he has to, and this, as we all have to, we have to understand that we are only given a very limited perspective, aren't we? That we only see things from our viewpoint. Whereas God, He has the privilege of being able to see from above and he is able to look down and he is able to see how all of it might play out. Persecution often creates tension in our life. We don't like that feeling of tension. It is uncomfortable. It makes us feel stressed. It makes us feel emotional. It makes us feel alone. It makes us lose heart and lose courage. It makes us feel hopeless and abandoned. That feeling of loneliness makes us focus on ourself and our disappointments. We might feel as if God is not near. You see, as David writes in Psalm 22, that tension, just from the opening line, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. He goes on in verse 2, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. David is, and he recognizes what God has done, and he's not at a point where he is just in total disbelief. He trusts in what God is capable of doing. But there's tension here. There's tension in the life of David. That he sees that, okay, God, you have been with Israel, and whenever Israel needed you, you were there. You delivered. Now I need you. But where are you? Have you ever felt like that at some point? Where there's that we know you will act, we know that you have acted, we believe and we trust. But where is that? When will God act? David is feeling that tension. He's right in the midst of that. And so he begins to focus inwardly, and he thinks about himself in a lot of ways. And as he begins to express that tension, he is looking inward, and that God and all the feelings that he is going through. And then he also recognizes what God is doing. There's that tension between his inward feelings and thoughts and what God is capable of doing and what he trusts and knows that God is able to do. He says in verse 9, yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. He's not abandoning faith at this point. He's ready for God to act. And so how, whenever we are in the midst of it, whenever we feel that we are isolated and defeated and that enemies are coming after us, but we know that God is the exalted King who rules the world and who can save us and help us out of this despair. How do we get out of that tension? It's a difficult question to answer, but I believe this psalm helps us process some of that. The first thing that we have to recognize is that we have to overcome isolation. David begins the psalm with a cry of lamentation, a cry of fear. David is afraid that God no longer hears him, that God is no longer near him. He's afraid that God has turned a deaf ear to him, and that God is not going to help him through the trials of his suffering. These words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. That David saying what has risen to the top are the words of my groaning, not words of deliverance, not a praise. The songs of praise are far away, he says. I cry by day and by night, but there is no rest. You feel the pain and the anguish that David is going through. And I think these words are very well known to us if we are students of the New Testament, because Jesus made this statement on the cross in Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, and in verse 46, when Jesus had been on the cross hanging for several hours. And it says in verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus felt the exact emotions that David is writing about. And I think it would be hard pressed to find a psalm or any scripture in the rest of the Bible than Psalm 22 that adequately helps us see the anguish and the despair that Jesus felt while He was hanging on that tree. Because here, Jesus was hanging on that cross and there are soldiers who are mocking Him. His disciples have fled. No one is there. He's in great pain and anguish and torment. "Why have you forsaken me?" Can't help but think that when Jesus was on the cross, it must have been the loneliest time of His life. And isolation is not a pleasant feeling. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and it was produced during the time of COVID and the pandemic, in the midst of the very early part of the pandemic, and it was talking about some of the daily habits that we have and the need for, I think it was in This American Life was the podcast, and they interviewed a very touching story of a lady whose grandmother had Alzheimer's. And that one of the things about Alzheimer's, it's not good to be alone. And this granddaughter taped and recorded all the conversations that she had with her grandmother. And in just a few weeks, it was painful to listen to. That in just a matter of weeks, her memory started slipping. And within 6 months, she passed away. Isolation is not healthy. And that is, it causes feelings of despair and loneliness. And that is what Jesus was feeling. That's what David was feeling in Psalm 22. And I think that when we are faced with enemies, whenever we have people who are turning against us, whenever we are faced with temptation and disappointment, we feel alone. And it is easy in those times that we feel that our faith has let us down. When we are attacked and we face those struggles, we feel as if something is not right. We may feel that our faith is weak, that our faith has disappointed us. And when that sets in, it becomes very easy to turn away from others. The strength that we should find among fellow Christians and fellow believers, we want to turn away. We want to be alone. We want to isolate. And that's not healthy. That's not good. You think about the phrase, we say there's strength in numbers. And if that's true, then weakness is found in being alone. You think about the struggles that we might face with temptation. Temptation is much more appealing. It's much stronger when we are alone, isn't it? When we have not been reading our Bibles, whenever we've not been praying as we ought to, the appeal to sin is much easier. It's harder to resist that temptation. You think about some of the terrible sins that can be committed alone. Pornography, adultery, drinking, any number of things that can be committed whenever we are limited in who we are around. There's a reason that there should be a plurality of elders and deacons in the local church workers, because there you can split the workload, the responsibilities, the division of labor to make things work more efficiently and effectively. isolation is not good. Being alone is not healthy for our faith. It can cause feelings of despair and we begin to lose heart. We feel hopeless. And when we start thinking that our faith is weak, we begin to isolate. We begin to turn away from people who can help us. And whenever that begins to happen, then we are truly in spiritual danger. Whenever faith turns to despair, we all have those moments when we might ask, is being a child of God really worth it? We might all have that moment at some point. And when you have that faith, when you have that moment, you will probably want to resist the advice of the preacher or the Bible class teacher, the elders. But what you need to do is pray to God. When you find yourself in a crisis of faith, whenever you feel alone, when you feel despair and you feel disappointed because of your faith, ask for God to be with you. Don't quit praying. And then you need to call a brother or sister in Christ and ask for them to pray with you. I can think of a hero of faith, at least one of my heroes of faith, who prayed to God. And that prayer, it was repeated. And he in fact, got no. His prayer was not answered in the way that he thought it should be. That's the Apostle Paul. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 12, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 7, Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Have you ever thought about that word, Paul says? Torment me? I can only imagine the despair that Paul was feeling because of that. He's being tormented day and night. He says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul did not allow that thorn in the flesh to destroy him. He rather turned it on its head and said, this is going to become an example of the grace of God in my life. Whenever we might feel despair, that's when we need to turn it on its head and we need to say, okay, Satan is coming after me, but I'm not going to allow it to destroy me. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to fight the good fight. And I'm going to come out victorious. And that's why David was able to say what he did in Psalm 22 as he reflected on the persecution that he was being faced with. In Psalm 22 and verse 6, but I am a man and not, I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. He continues on in verse 7, all who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip, they wag the head saying, commit yourself to the Lord, let Him deliver him, let Him rescue him because He delights in him. The mocking that David endured and that you go back to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 27. And you can, I invite you to do this. We're not going to take the time to do it tonight. But take out Matthew chapter 27. If you have two Bibles, this would work really, really well. Or just maybe an iPad and a Bible or something. But open up Matthew 27 and then open up Psalm 22. And you will see, it's almost as if Matthew is copying what David was writing. And it's almost, I believe that God was involved in all of this because It is the soldiers who are remarking and saying the very same things to Jesus when he's on the cross. They're mocking him and making fun of him and of his faith. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Faithful men and women have their enemies who seek their harm. While that may be hard for us to believe, it is certainly what we see. Jesus had his own enemies, that they despised him. They sneered at him. They mocked him. They attacked him. He goes on in verse 12, David does, "Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." There's a very clear allusion to the cross. "I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them." Again, quoted in the Gospel of Matthew as being fulfilled in the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus. "For my clothing they cast lots, but you, O Lord, be not far off." David is in the thick of it. He's being mocked. He's being attacked. He has enemies who are coming after him. Paul had his enemies. As we referenced in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "I will endure it. I will go through." Throughout history, faithful men and women have had people who would turn against them. People who would treat them as if they are prey. It's interesting to see the references to animals in Psalm 22. David says these enemies are like a bull or like a lion or like a dog. They are just attacking the prey. The innocent. And the true challenge when we are facing these sorts of difficulties, whenever we have someone who gossips about us, and whenever we have someone who seeks to do us harm by the stories they are spreading, or whenever they might lie to us, whenever we feel as if we are being attacked for our faithfulness and our stand for the truth, we need to remember God is the way out. God is the source of our strength. That's the overture of this psalm. While he begins with the despair and the loneliness, David is on this journey and he's taking us with him. And he was finally building up to this point in verse 19, "But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword. My only lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me." David wants God to respond. And as we noted earlier in verse 3, whenever he says, "Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them." He knows that God can respond. And that's where David is at. He's had the struggle, the persecution. His faith is being attacked. And now he's preparing and asking that God do something. That God intervene. While it might look like our enemies are having success, while it might look like they are winning, and we have to remember that we are going to focus our heart and our faith and our mind on God. Realize that only through God will we have victory. And we are not really alone. Because David, he exalts the Holy One of Israel. He says in verse 22, "I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the assembly I will praise you. He goes on in verse 24, "For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him for help, he heard." Because whenever we are a faithful child of God, even whenever we might be facing struggles, even when our faith might be on the brink of disappointment, even in the midst of it, God is there and He hears us. Faith in God never really disappoints. Faith is the mechanism, it's the key that gives us hope and victory. And when we have faith in God, faith is what leads us to praise and to worship. When we are in the midst of despair, we need to trust in God's sovereign power and His ability to take care of the things that we are struggling with. And that's why the response of David is really impressive. He doesn't turn away from worship. He's not going to say, "Well, things are really hard right now, so I'm going to go be by myself without an opportunity to worship God." He says, "No, things are hard, and I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to worship and praise Him." He says in verse 22 that, "I'm going to be in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." He calls on others, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him." Others praise God. Because God is always there for those who are faithful and loyal to Him, whether we are talking about David or whether we're talking about Jesus, or even whenever we may face uncertain times of trial and tribulation and discouragement, God is with us. And whenever we come to realize that when we are facing these real struggles of faith, we need to be with the people of God. It's the best people that we could be around. He says in verse 25, from you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear Him. David says, "I'm going to remain committed to going to be with the people of God because that's who want to focus on doing what is right. Those are the ones who are focusing on pleasing the Lord." Whenever we are in the midst of struggle, it's going to be very tempting to say, "You know, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to go through this by myself." We think we're going to be able to kind of bear it all on our shoulders. But whenever we realize that temptation is stronger today than it ever has been for us, whenever we have the discouragement that we are seeing, whenever we get discouraged about things in our family or things in the Lord's church or in our nation, we need to realize that's when we need God's people in our life the most. It's not the time to turn away. It's the time to turn to them, to rely on them, to let them help us. Faith should motivate us to be with each other. And when we live by faith, others will see it. When we live by faith, other people will see it. Notice how the psalm ends in verse 27. He says, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will bow before Him. Even he who cannot keep his soul alive, posterity will serve Him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and will declare His righteousness to a people who will be born, that He has performed it." That's a very different kind of ending than probably what we expected whenever the words of this psalm begin with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now David is saying, the future generations are going to remember what you have done. They're going to remember and they're going to be told about it, and people from all around, not just Israel, not just David's family, but all nations are going to see. Whenever you might be facing some persecution, or whenever you might be facing some hard and difficult times and discouragement, just remember that as you are focusing your mind and your heart, your faith on God, and you pray, whenever you rely upon your brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to be there with you, they're going to stand there with you, they're going to be there praying with you, remember that other people are watching. People are watching. And that in that far distant moment, and it seems like it's so far away, it seems like it's so far away that you're never going to get out of this. You're never going to get out of the pit. You're never going to get out of the despair. Just remember that whenever that you do come out of it, others will have watched you go through that. And they're going to say, remember when they did this, and if they could overcome it, well then what I'm going through is not nearly as bad as what they went through. I can overcome it. And I'm going to rely on God. You can be a positive example for others. And people will see it, and they will, and by your example and your godly focus, you will encourage others to turn to the Lord. Because faith might look like it disappoints sometimes, but it really doesn't. People will disappoint us. Circumstances will challenge us. And we will have to endure those things. But what we can always trust in is the God of heaven. We can trust in the grace of our great, who will provide us with the victory and the hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and as God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. When we are weak, it proves that we need the grace of God. We are not going to be able to be self-reliant, but we are going to have to become dependent upon God. That's what Psalm 22 helps us see. Even in the midst of the despair and the loneliness, God will hear our cry. And His grace is sufficient for us. Tonight the grace of God is extended to you through Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died and went to the cross. He endured the pain and the agony, the anguish of being alone on the cross. He overcame victorious 3 days later when He was raised up from the dead. Tonight, if you need to come in obedience to the gospel, we would encourage you and we would help you become a child of God. And if you have become a Christian, but you've not been serving God faithfully, maybe your faith has disappointed you. Maybe your faith is not strong any longer and you need the prayers of the brethren here. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. Would you let us know now as we stand and as we sing?